Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who write, and for everybody who wants to know the story behind the book. And I am coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida. It is so beautiful. This is Read a Book Outside Weather. And so I am so thrilled to have back on the program. Well, I always want to speak to people who have a British accent. Actually, probably if you even don't have a book and you have a British accent, oh, I will invite you on the program. But luckily, my guest today has a very beautiful British accent. And I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Hannah Mary McKinnon, although I think she's speaking to us from up north a little bit in Canada, right? Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Patsy. Yes, that's right. Just outside of Toronto.
Just outside of Toronto. Well, I'm so glad. But you haven't lost your accent. You just maintained it perfectly. Oh, I love it. I love it. I could listen to you all day long.
Oh, well, thank you.
Wow. Back again. Wow, wow, wow. You know, you are... You are something. You know, I have to tell my listeners, Hannah is one of these authors who really does her research. She will go anywhere to find out details. She will visit a coroner. She will call up anybody, and she will dig so that she can get things just right in her books. It's so much fun to read your books, Hannah.
Thank you. Thank you. And actually, I have to say that whenever I do research, I'm always surprised how people are so generous with their time. You know, they're always happy to chat, which is incredible.
Well, the new book is called You Will Remember Me. where do we start with this book? You know, you come across as such a sweetheart. And I remember when I met you here at the Vinoy Hotel. Mm-hmm. It was so wonderful. We were here for VoucherCon. And, you know, it was my first VoucherCon, so I was really excited, and I met all these authors. And the funny thing is, two of my absolute favorites were you and Kathy Ace, both from Canada.
Oh, yes, I love Kathy. And Kathy's originally from the UK as well. She's from Wales originally.
Yes, she's from Wales.
Yeah.
And so, and she, you know, she came armed with gifts. Tea cloths, and I still have her tea cloth in my kitchen. I got these. Well, that's the wonderful thing about an event like VoucherCon, that you meet so many people, and in your case, it's sort of paid off, hasn't it?
Yes, certainly. I mean, I attended my first VoucherCon, the Murder Mystery Readers and Writers Convention in Toronto, actually. It was in 2017, before my first suspense novel, The Neighbours, published in 2018. And what struck me was the generosity of the community, the fact that it is a community. That has surprised me ever since I started writing crime fiction. It's just full of wonderful people, readers, writers alike, who are just so supportive and helpful. It's a wonderful, wonderful community to be a part of.
It is, and you get so many blurbs. You get blurbs. People want to blurb your book. Well, you know, I think the reason they read your book and they're saying, you know, I know Hannah. I've met her. She's so sweet. She seems like such a doll. And then she writes these diabolical plots.
I do. I mean, I'd like to think I am a nice person. I certainly try to be. But through my books, I have this opportunity to explore the dark side.
Explore it.
My characters do things that I would never do, but that I can think about and really think. Well, what would drive a person to do X, Y, Z, and how have they become the way they are? And it's nobody gets hurt, so it's very safe. It's very safe exploration.
Very safe. It's so much fun to read your books. You know, the nice thing really about the suspense, the psychological thrillers, while you're reading them, you do forget about the outside world, which is a nice relief. I think that's part of the fun of reading books like this. So it's right now, the weather is just gorgeous. And everybody, I think reading outdoors just take a book and go outside, go find a tree, find a pool, find a beach, and read, because it's just wonderful to be out there, and but then to get lost in a book, like yes. they do with you.
I agree. I mean, I think especially after the last, 15 months that we've had, it's been quite extraordinary. But the weather is here, it's lovely here as well, and I did exactly that. I sat outside yesterday, first in the house, and then I graduated to outside. Because I just wanted to get lost and immersed in a world that someone had created for us. So reading really is such a pleasure and has been for years.
Well, that's why I named this program Joy on Paper, because there's both a joy of writing, but then there's that joy of reading.
Yes.
And it really, and during these terrible months, so many people have found release by, you know, immersing themselves sometimes in a series, or sometimes just in a style of a book, or in an author, because you find an author that you like. So I know that when people read this book, you will remember me. They will want to go back and read your other books, because like Her Secret Son, I thought was terrific, because you really write there a wonderful relationship between Josh and Logan. That those characters stayed with me. And then I love the neighbor. You know, so it's nice when you find an author and you can go back and sort of follow along as they've developed, or as they've written, you know, different books in the same style.
Absolutely. It's always such a treat when somebody writes to me. Let's say they read Sister Dear last year, and then they write to me and they say, oh, I read Sister Dear and I loved it, and I just got all of your backlist. You know, that's so wonderful. And I love discovering new to me authors as well, where I pick up maybe it's their third or fourth or tenth book, and then think, oh wow, what else have they written? And then go and search for all their other books. It's always such a pleasure.
Well, now your book is published by
Mira.
HarperCollins,
yeah.
And they have such a wonderful listing of books. They have an amazing catalog of books.
They do. They're an amazing publisher. I cannot sing their praises highly enough. The whole Mira team and the HarperCollins team, the Harlequin team, it's all one and the same, are so supportive and so... I mean, just the cover of You Will Remember Me. I don't have anything to do with drawing my covers. I can't even manage a stick man. But, well, maybe I can manage a stick man on a good day. But they are so incredibly talented in terms of the covers and the copy and the editing, just with my editor. I mean, that alone, and the whole publicity and marketing team around it, it's just... They're amazing.
They are, and their website is it's a joy to look at, because, as you say, the covers are all so good, and as you scroll through them and you see, really, you know that they are a class act. They know what they're doing, and they've designed beautiful covers, and they have a whole range of wonderful, wonderful authors. And I'm going to invite somebody from them to come on the program to talk about more of their authors, because I think that, you know, sometimes when you find that just the right fix for you, the right home for your books, it really helps.
It does. It's really important. I mean, I remember when they first acquired The Neighbours, they gave me a two-book deal, so it was The Neighbours and another book. And I remember saying to them, but what would you like the next one to be? And they said, we don't know, but we'll figure it out. And I found that so amazing that I didn't even have to come up with a list of ideas. They just trusted that together we would find another book to write, and that became Her Secret Son. And they said to me from the beginning, we want to invest in you as an author and build your career, which is exactly what they've done. And it's really astonishing the help that they've provided me with. They're fantastic.
Well, they are. Exactly that. Because an author needs this support. I mean, they really do. It's difficult out there. And to know that you have somebody behind you, somebody who is interested in a long-term career, that you're going to keep going and producing, you know, great books throughout the years, that's really inspirational in the publishing world, I think.
Yes, it is. It really is. And I know that, for example, when I'm struggling, say, with You Will Remember Me, which was a tough one to write because it's an amnesia thriller, which is something I hadn't tackled before. And when I sent it in to my editor, I remember saying to her, it's not in the best shape, but I need your help to whip it into shape because I know there's wrong stuff in it and things that's clunky and it's not working, but can you please help me? Which she did. So just that support alone is huge.
It is enormous. So let's talk about this amnesiac and this. Well, we're not going to get into the diabolical plot lines because that's part of the fun of reading your books, and particularly this one. There are a lot of twists and twisted people. There's a lot of stuff going on in this book. But what do you like to tell people so that just intrigue them enough to get that book and start reading? Because then after about 10 pages, they're not going to stop.
So I like to say it's an amnesia thriller, a psychological amnesia thriller that features three characters. One, the man from the beach, a man who wakes up on a beach, doesn't know where he is, who he is, how he got there. He knows nothing. Then there's Lily, who's looking for her boyfriend, Jack, who went missing after an evening swim. And the third character is Maya, who's also looking for someone. She is searching for her estranged stepbrother, Ash, who took off and left 2 years prior, and she hasn't seen or heard from again. But the question is the man from the beach Jack, Ash, neither, or both?
Ah, exactly. And that is that sends us on a very, very wild journey. And I will just tell you that do not ever ask me to look in your cellar. I don't ever say. I'm going to come up there and visit you up there in Toronto one day, near Toronto. I spend a lot of time in Toronto. if you have a cellar, don't have to ask me to go down there. Wow. As you said, you know, you get this story idea. Tell us, what was the genesis of this? Where did this idea of amnesia come from?
It was a true story that caught my attention. That happened a few years ago. A gentleman from Toronto went missing on a ski hill when he was in Lake Placid on holiday with his family. And he just disappeared. He literally vanished off the face of the mountain. And people were very concerned. After he didn't show up after a few hours and then it turned into days, they figured he must have fallen and maybe broken something or hit his head or whatever and probably perished on the mountain and that they would find him at some point. And then he turned up in Sacramento 6 days later, still dressed in his ski gear. And he had a credit card in his pocket, and he was trying to get a phone, but nobody would sell him a phone because he didn't have any ID, and he was, you know, acting a bit strange. And eventually, he was able to phone home. He remembered his wife's phone number, and he was safely returned home. And I found that story so completely fascinating. I mean, the whole experience of he ended up in Sacramento, no clue why. He got into a truck and was transported across the country, but why Sacramento? Don't know. And then I started thinking, then my thriller brain kicked in, because he was safe to return and everything worked out. But my thriller brain started thinking, well, what if it didn't? What could possibly go wrong? Because if you don't know who you are, you have to trust people telling you who you are. But what if they don't have necessarily your best interests at heart? So that was really the thinking behind it. It was that true life story that really, really caught my attention.
Wow. So then you had to do a little bit of research here.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, it is such an idea. One wonders, you know, like, does it happen?
So it does. I mean, I had to research the different kinds of amnesia because there are different types. So there's There's retrograde, which the man from the beach has. He wakes up and he doesn't remember anything from before. Then there's anterograde amnesia, where you remember, where you wake up and you don't, you can't form new memories. So you remember the past, but 10 years can pass and you don't remember those 10 years. You just remember up to a certain point. And then there's another one which is more of a psychological trauma and the brain protecting itself, which is called the fugue state, where you also remember nothing. But that generally passes. It could be hours, could be a week, and stuff comes back. It really is almost like a fight or flight response, where the brain just kicks into high protection mode. So that was really interesting to research, and I disappeared down many a rabbit hole with these different cases. Found out that Agatha Christie indeed went missing for 2 weeks and said she had and had amnesia. So there's so many cases, and the unique thing, or the good thing, I guess, is in terms of writing someone with amnesia, is that many cases are, or most cases are, completely different from the other cases. So there's a bit of room for creative license there, as long as you respect the guidelines of what anterograde amnesia is, or retrograde, for example. So it was very interesting to research.
Well, you know, I of course, when you write a book like this, and one of the wonderful things is that normally in the past, you would get out there and you would be on the road going around to different events, signing events, meeting people. Is that opening up a little bit now for you? Are you coming back to the States? Can Canadians come back to the States now?
We can fly. We can't go across the border for non-essential. I don't know if they would consider a book tour essential. Probably not. So the borders are still closed. We're actually still in lockdown under a stay-at-home order until the 2nd of June. This is our third. So very quickly already last year, before Sister Dear came out in March, I flipped my events online, and I've done a lot of online things, like Facebook Lives and Instagram Lives and Zoom, so I was pretty comfortable with the technology piece. It wasn't that much of a learning curve. And I've continued with those online events, and I hope, actually, when the world does open up and completely return to normal, I will still do a lot of online events, because they're very practical in terms of geography. You know, if I come to Florida, and only people in a certain radius could attend. So I'm hoping there'll also be a hybrid version where we have an in-person event that might be live-streamed, so that people who have disabilities or geographical restrictions can still attend.
Well, are you in Canada? Are you guys getting vaccinated?
Yes, as fast as we can.
Yeah. So is most of Canada vaccinated now?
I think over 50% of eligible adults have had their first shot. What they decided to do, they being the government, they decided to have a 16-week gap between the first and second shot, so that they could get the first one into as many arms as possible. And that 16-week gap might be reduced depending on supply. So I have my second one scheduled in August. So until 2 weeks after that, I guess, we have to be still remain very vigilant.
Now, when you say you're in lockdown still, what does that mean in Canada?
So for us, the stay-at-home order is basically non-essential shops, they're open for curbside pickup. All in-person dining has shut down, not even patios, if they're not open. Restaurants are just open for takeout. Grocery stores are open, of course. I think it's 50%, either 25 or 50% capacity. And essentially, we're only supposed to go out for essential purposes, groceries,
farm. Wow, so this. That's much tougher than the United States, even.
Yeah, it's been pretty strict, and this is our third lockdown, so our third stay at home, and it's been, I think it was just after Easter, and the kids, so I have three sons, they're in high school, they had a hybrid high school where it was mornings only, in person, afternoons online, and in person only 2 or 3 days a week. So that flipped back to all online, and I don't think that they will be going back to in-person school until September. I just can't see it happening. What for? You know, the school year ends at the end of June.
Well, I wouldn't have minded being locked down with my kids when they were 3, 4, and 5 years old. To be locked down with three teenagers?
Three teenagers. Actually, they've been fabulous.
Yeah?
Yeah, they have, because certainly in terms of, so in terms of work, obviously I work from home, writing from home. And them being at home, if they were 3, 4, and 5, I probably wouldn't have written my next book because I would have been too busy with the kids. But with them being older, they're very self-sufficient. They do their schoolwork. They're online. They do their stuff. You know, sometimes I don't even know they're in the house. They're amazing.
Well, that's fun. You know, I was a homeschool mom, so I had my boys, you know, 24/7. But of course, we did a lot of outdoor things. As a matter of fact, half of our school was spent outdoors because we were living on the beach and we had a beautiful park near us, and so we did most of our studying outdoors, actually. Wow, it's hard. I did not realize it was really so locked down there in Canada.
Yes, it is. So that's Ontario for now, but the cases have been dropping. I think because the third wave hit us so hard, but they're being very, very cautious before they open up again to make sure that vaccines are distributed enough that we don't end up with a fourth wave and another lockdown, because that would just be
too much. Well, you have a big a Zoom launch party this evening?
Or I do.
You will remember me.
Yes, I do. It's a big Zoom party. People can find the details on my website, Hannah Mary McKinnon, on the events. There's a link there that you can sign up. It's a Zoom webinar, so you won't have your camera on. Don't worry. Hank Philippi Ryan, fellow crime author, and I will be chatting, and my editor and my agent will be there too.
Oh, your editor and your agent. Whoa, that's cool. That's cool.
Well, that's at 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight.
Well, okay, everybody, check that out. Go to Hannah's site and you know, I don't know if you have to sign up for it, if you just can join in.
Right.
And it will be fun and whoa, to have your agent there, and you have a very happy agent, I think, because your books are selling very well. And you know, did you ever think when you started that you would be really so successful, that, you know, best-selling author?
I hoped I would. I mean, that was the dream, to be on a bestseller list and to for my books to do well. But the trouble is that I'm the type of person who always shifts the goalpost. So, okay, so I've got a book deal, great, now I want another one, and now I want to be on a bestseller list, and now I want to be on it for longer, and now I want the movie, you know, it's just never ending.
Well, no, there is going to be a movie. I predicted a movie for The Neighbor, because... Oh, I mean, you know, as somebody who wrote scripts, I would love to do that script. I mean, that is so it's so doable.
Love for that to happen.
Well, you know, I think I made you promise that when you get your first movie deal, that you will announce it here on Joy on Paper.
Yes. I'm still waiting.
Well, I think it's going to happen. You know, Hollywood's picking up. I've been talking to people over there. Things are starting to roll out again. They're starting to look for properties and start making deals again. You know, part of the problem, really, in Hollywood, making deals, when I was there, it was so much personal connections.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same. When in Hollywood, when they would say, let's do lunch, I mean, you really did lunch, but you also talked business and made deals.
Yes.
And it's not the same on Zoom. I have a feeling a lot of the producers and all of the, you know, the people involved in the movie industry, they're like, I'm doing lunch here on my kitchen counter with a tuna fish sandwich. This is not, that's not doing.
It's not quite the same.
No, it's not. And I was, you know, several times I was invited to do lunch with a producer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And those were wonderful. I tell you.
Yes, I'm so jealous.
I could eat through so much smoked salmon. You can't believe it. Luckily, I took advantage of it because I had three of my scripts were optioned. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in Hollywood, they have this term. It's called turnaround. And my scripts have been turning around. So, but with a book deal, if you could get a book deal, and I think, and I'm sure your agent tonight, I'm going to watch this and I'm going to, you know, send good vibes to your agent. Get working on this. Let's get The Neighbor done, because that would be so easy to sell. Over the right lunch, you know.
Over the right lunch.
If I was over there, I would be selling that so fast. I do feel sorry for them, thinking about them sitting at home with their tuna fish sandwich. Oh, it's pathetic. But
maybe it's a smoked salmon sandwich.
Well, maybe. I don't know. These guys are, like, I think they're all going cuckoo. But there are deals to be made, and I'm sure your agent will get one, because once you start with one, that's a beautiful thing. Once you start with one film, you get a lot of, they follow on. But because you're, this is perfect. I mean, it's just perfect. So this book also, you know, I think, you know, it's just a matter of, wow, getting things moving again in Hollywood, because You Will Remember Me, which is released today, right?
Mm, yeah.
And, you know, because I got a little confused. I thought it was the 26th. I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, I sent you that crazy email saying, because I got the dates confused, because you were here on May, previous time on May 26th.
That's
but
right.
Today is May 25th. It is the release of You Will Remember Me. And people remember that because it's a good book. And then I expect, really, within 6 months, you're going to be back here announcing a movie deal.
I love your confidence.
I really do. I think that you were made for a movie deal. And you, and then of course, not only are you coming on the program, you're going to invite me to the premiere, right?
Of course.
Of course, because I predicted it. The minute I read the book, I think it was like in the third chapter, I said, oh, I had to sort of pinch myself. This is a book. It's not a movie in my head. Knock myself on the head with the book. Yes, keep reading, because it doesn't come automatically. You have to read it. But it's just your writing's that way. You have these twists, these turns, and all from somebody with such a sweet, sweet, lovely British voice. And you know how much I love to hear a British voice. It reminds me of my lovely years in England and my cottage in Sonning, St. Anne's Cottage. That was the name of my cottage. I love the village. I don't know if there were any numbers on any of the houses. Everyone had a name. You know,
had a name on the cottage. Yeah.
Okay. I never knew a number. I really don't. When I bought it, I don't think there was a number on it. You know, it was my, you know, the deed, I think, said St. Anne's Cottage.
Yes, probably. Yeah.
Probably. I don't think there was a number.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was any further description, it was opposite the sweet shop.
Old English sweet shop.
Yes. I did enjoy my years there. It was so much fun. Sonning was, you know, it's just not far from Henley. And it's one of those perfect, and it is still a preserved village, so people can't go around, you know, putting up neon billboards all over the place. thank goodness. And it has three pubs. It still has three pubs. And what more do you need in a town? We had three pubs, a sweet shop, and a butcher, and we were happy. We were happy. Now, although you sound very British, you were actually raised in Switzerland, so you could switch easily over to French, right?
Yes, I did. I grew up in the German-speaking part of Switzerland and then moved to the French-speaking part when I was, 17.
So you speak both of those languages?
I do, yeah.
And have the books been translated?
Not into French and German. The Neighbors was translated into Swedish and also Estonian, which...
Estonian?
Yeah, and I received copies of of the books, and it's so interesting to see, because I can't read them. I know what's in them, but I can't actually read them. And it's so interesting to see the different, say, the acknowledgements, the names, and or the names of the characters stay the same. But it's fascinating. So Estonian and Swedish.
Well, I'm sure that your agent will get working on, you know, knowing that you speak fluently German and French. Your agent has to get them translated, because once Europe opens up again, and it will someday, you can go over, fly over there. Now, that would be a great book signings, huh?
Yes, that would be amazing. I'd absolutely love to do that. That would be so much fun.
Oh, wouldn't it be? Oh, yeah. To fly to Switzerland for book signings. I think that would be, and it's tax deductible.
That's true.
Isn't that nice? You can say, I have to fly to Switzerland, and it's tax deductible. Wow. Because that was pretty a great place to grow up, actually.
It was. It's just very lovely. And honestly, the photographs that you see don't really do it justice. When you're up in the mountains, looking down onto the lakes, there's so much there in terms of outdoors activities, and it's very small. I mean, we can fit Switzerland 26 times into Ontario alone, the whole country. It's completely ridiculous. So it's small, compact, exceedingly beautiful.
Oh, and so beautiful! I spent quite a bit of time. My husband's company was registered in Zurich, and we used every excuse we could. We need a board meeting. Let's have a. You know, we only needed officially to have once a year a board meeting, but I think we landed up with like four or five a year. What the heck? You know,
absolutely.
We need to make decisions. Let's make them in the right place. So
Zurich,
it is a lovely place. Now, did you ever read the book I recommended to you, The Professor?
I did not.
Well,
I did not.
You have to read it. I'm telling you, because there we have a girl. Well, you have to read it, The Professor, by Charlotte Bronte. You have to read it. I insist.
I will. I'm going to write it down now.
Write it down right now, because you know the mother in the book is British and the father Swiss, and so they talk about Switzerland and they talk about it's a wonderful book, and you know it's Charlotte Bronte, so you know the writing's excellent. It's always good to go back, and like, I mean, you're writing contemporary fiction, but it's so great to go back and look at not always the most famous books written by famous authors from the past, but this book, which is not one of her famous ones, but you really can see the development of her writing by reading that one.
Yes, that's interesting to do. I think when you find an author and then you read their newest one, you go back and you read their first one, and you see the evolution of their writing. It's really quite something to behold.
It really is, and that's why I recommend to people because people don't know about this book, but it is so clever, it is so beautiful. And the writing is exquisite. And every, you know, writers, you can always learn. You can always get better as you start. And it's amazing how just things come to you. Words come more easily. Ideas come more easily. But you can get better. And so I just love to encourage people to, you know, read as much as possible, because you learn from reading.
You do, definitely. And that was something that I experienced when I started my writing journey, to read as much as I possibly could, and also join a critique group. And by reading other people's stuff and critiquing that also helps, because when you're reading something with a critical eye and saying, well, I really like this, now, how did they do that? That's fantastic. Or, ooh, do I do this as well? Because that doesn't feel right. That is really helpful, both reading, obviously, accomplished authors, but also budding authors, to figure out what's working and what isn't working and what, essentially, you can replicate.
And now, of course, you must be in demand from all the, for so many authors asking you to read their books
I do, and it's so flattering. You know, I'm always so flattered when somebody asks me if I could blurb for them. And I do it as much as possible, as much as time will allow, I because it's such a supportive community, and people have been so supportive of me. It's the right thing to do is to pay that forward.
Well, I'm going to invite actually one of your friends to be on the program, and I discovered him through you because I had not read his books until recently, and that's Bruce Coffin. And you mentioned him, you know, when you were here, and I love the name so much. And you know, he never sent me a book, but during this pandemic-y time, I'm always looking for you know, books to read, and so I checked him out. And so now I thought, well, I need to have him on. Anybody with a name like that. Bruce Coffin,
and he writes crime, and he's a retired detective sergeant. He was on the force 25 years, so he knows his stuff. He's the man who always helps me get away with fictional murder.
Well, that's why I thought I better have him on the program so he can talk about you.
Yeah. Oh. He's amazing, and his books are fantastic. He writes police procedurals, and obviously he knows his stuff.
And they're called the Detective Byron Mysteries, and I'm going to invite him on, and we will. If your ears are burning one day, it's because we're talking about you.
Let me know when it is so I can listen in.
I will. And again, it's always a joy to talk to you, Hannah Mary McKinnon. The new book is "You Will Remember Me," and it's available wherever books are sold. Hopefully. I mean, definitely online, and hopefully a lot of the bookstores are starting to open.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that Barnes & Noble, because you are now a best-selling author, this will be one of those ones on that stack right near the front door. Don't you love the ones on the stack right near the front door?
I do. That's amazing. Yes. I hope to be able to go into a bookshop very soon and see it in the flesh in the bookstore.
Yes, that makes it special. And I love you got a really nice blurb from Lisa Unger.
Yes.
Who has been on the program, and I love her work, and she writes riveting, smart, and utterly diabolical.
Yes.
So I think it is word. It's like your another middle name, Hannah Mary Diabolical McKinnon. Everybody,
because Jenny Milkman gave me the title "The Queen of Happily Never After," which just made me laugh.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. That definitely, definitely goes with you, and it's really a fantastic book. It's called Shared Fates Intertwine, and a twisty, explosive novel of suspense where unearthing the past might just mean being buried beneath it. Aha!
Yes, my editor wrote that, which is amazing.
Yes, well, that is good. I didn't know who wrote it, but I knew it was written by somebody really smart.
Yes.
So the minute I saw that, I said, oh, I like that. That one, I wasn't sure if you wrote it, but it's one smart editor.
Yes,
what's her name?
Emily.
Well, Emily did a great job with that little blurb on the back, too. That catches, you know, because you have to do that. I like the cover. I like the orange. I love orange. I love orange. I want an orange car because I love orange.
Okay.
So fantastic. Anyway, Hannah, it's been great to have you on the program again. And everybody, check out Hannah's website. It's Hannah Mary McKinnon, and she's going to have a big, big party tonight. Unfortunately, you have to bring your own champagne for her book launch. Just enjoy yourself tonight. And I'm really so thrilled that I got to have you back on here. And as I said, you are going to release the news here on Joy on Paper, okay?
It's a deal.
It's a deal.
As soon as there is one.
Okay. It'll be soon. Okay. You take care now, Hannah.
Thank you, Patsy, so much.
Okay. And be safe up there, Canada. Get over everything.
Yes. Let's do that.
But, you know, we used to get Canadian tourists here. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they all came down here to Clearwater.
Yes.
And nothing. No Canadians, you know. So
soon.
Yeah, so we will be happy to have the Canadians back here. Anyway, take care and have a great evening tonight.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Whoa, she's such a sweetheart. Oh, I like her. All right. I'm going to play. We're going to play a song now. Well, yeah. No, you know, let's play first the Book Buzz. I want to play the Book Buzz because this is for a very special author, Carolyn Hart. And Carolyn Hart is, well, she is a sweetheart. And she was one of my first guests. And she sent to me two boxes filled with autographed books and cassettes of her book. So I wanted to do this for her. She's got a book coming out, and here is the Book Buzz.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest Book Buzz. Ghost Blows a Kiss, a Bailey Ruth ghost novel, number 10, by New York Times bestselling grandmaster of mystery, Carolyn Hart. Here's the buzz. The late as in dearly departed Bailey Ruth Rayburn is delighted when she's assigned a new mission by Heaven's Department of Good Intentions, even if she is no good at following the rules for earthly visitations. This time, she's determined to be the perfect unseen emissary, no matter what it takes. Arriving late in the evening in her old hometown of Adelaide, Oklahoma, to find a woman drowning in a pond, Bailey Ruth carries out a daring rescue with textbook invisible effort. But Bailey Ruth soon realizes there's more to Fran's accident than a late night walk gone wrong. The young widow was running away, but what from? Soon, Bailey Ruth finds herself caught up in a complex web of family secrets, loyalties, and lies. And if she doesn't act fast, an innocent will be locked up for a very long time. Like a warm hug from a loved one, Ghost Blows a Kiss is the perfect escapist read for cozy mystery fans. Whether you're old friends with the lively, always entertaining Bailey Ruth, or have yet to make her acquaintance, Grandmaster of Mystery, Carolyn Hart, is the New York Times best-selling author of over 60 novels of mystery and suspense. Her books have won numerous prizes, including Agatha's and Anthony's. She has been personally honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award from Malice Domestic and the Ridley Pearson Award for significant contributions to the mystery field. She is also one of the founding members of Sisters in Crime. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
Okay, commercials now. Let's run the commercials, and then we'll be back, and I'll talk about a song.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I want to talk a few minutes first about Hollywood Connections, which is on today at 2 o'clock right here on Tantalk Radio Network. And one of the authors who has appeared on my program many times, Philip Vega, will be on with Don Reese to talk about his book, Last Exit to Montauk, which I think would make a wonderful, wonderful film. And so I'm really excited that he's going to be visiting with her and talking more about his book and about what he's doing to get himself a movie deal. As I was talking to, Hannah just a minute ago, Hannah Mary McKinnon, now she has an agent and she's with a major publisher. And they will push to get her a movie deal. They will, get out there, and they will. They have the agents that are connected from New York to Hollywood, and they will push to get her a movie deal. And I'm sure they will, because the minute I read her first book, I said she's going to get a movie deal. But that happened also when I read Philip Vega's book. I said, "Wow, this is just a perfect book to turn into a film." But in his case, he doesn't have an agent and he doesn't have a major publisher. So he has to do the work himself. But it's possible, and I know many people who have. When I was in Hollywood, I was asked actually to write scripts for books that were self-published. So this can happen. But in his case, and in all the cases of somebody, if you've published your own book, you have to work on it, and you have to get pushy, but you can. And recently, we had Barbara Hinsky here on the program, and she got a movie deal a movie of the week deal with Hallmark Channel. And these things happen. It's just a matter of persistence, and that's the name of the game. And you just have to just keep going. So anyway, it's going to be very exciting, and it's going to be at 2 o'clock today on Hollywood Connections. So, tune in for that. And then, I played that book buzz for Carolyn Hart because it's going to be her 85th birthday. Right now, you can pre-order the book, and it would be so nice if we could get 85 pre-orders for her. What is so wonderful about writing is that you can keep writing. I mean, she's 84 now. She's going to be 85 years old. And she's still writing, and the new book is really, really great. So it's just a matter of being persistent, sticking with it, discipline. Discipline is one of the biggest things that an author needs. If without discipline, without that getting up every day, and sitting down and writing, you're not going to get anywhere. But if you are persistent, then you can really make it a life for yourself, an exciting life. Because even if you might not get a movie deal, your book might not be the right thing for a movie deal, but you get out there with people, you get to meet fans, you get to change lives. Fans will write to you and they'll say, I needed to read a good book. I was in, I just was feeling sad. I needed to pick up a book that took me out of my sadness, or I needed something to cheer me up, and I read your book and it's just fantastic. So this can happen, and it can happen if you just will remember what I'm always telling you. I'm going to do my little out thing now. I'm going to tell you, just make sure that you start writing, because one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, to hear them spoken in an audible book. But I'm going to play today the song from Haley Woolbright, because this is a love song she wrote for her husband, and it was a thrill that I was able to introduce her to the a Hall of Fame songwriter, Lang Martin Jr., and she got to go up to Nashville. She got to meet him. And so I'm going to end the program today with Haley's love song that she wrote. She got married and she came out with this love song for her new hubby. So I want to play the whole song. I think we have it to run. And meanwhile, remember what I tell you. Start writing, and you never know. You might one day have a book deal. And then somebody might even write a song about you. But let's go ahead and play that song. We have to keep, we'll add it. Oh, one thing, go to my webpage. I've got the interview with her on the webpage. It's radio-joyonpaper.com. Go there, and I have the interview with her. And also, oh, I've got some wonderful, wonderful interviews that I've just posted. But here's, we're going to go right into this song, Haley Woolbright.
From the start, didn't even know your middle name. You have my heart. Started off slow, but who were we to thwart the magic? From that first kiss, I knew our love would be a classic. We knew I don't need no backup plan. I'm putting both feet in trembling. Them it was from above. November came, 8 months in, you were on one knee. You looked me in the eyes, promised to always take care of me.